Thanks again to everyone who's read, helped us open the meeting. I take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Big welcome to any visitors that are with us this evening, and a huge welcome to any newcomers that might be in a room with us tonight. And we hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So we do have a speaker, and it does fall on me to introduce them this evening. This is a young lady that I met in the course of service a few months ago. She's more of a tech nerd than I am, which is saying something, let me tell you. I know she's very enthusiastic about being of service, and I know that she does that facing some challenges, and she's been around in recovery for a while. So I don't know much about her story. I'm really looking forward to hearing her share tonight. And Rachel is going to share her experience, strength and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes. Whatever's comfortable for her. So Rachel, without further ado, over to you. Please share your experience, strength and hope with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, my name is Rachel and I'm an addict.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi,
Rachel.
Hello,
Rachel. Hi.
Welcome. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Oh, it's so lovely to be back here. I was in this meeting, I think it was a few weeks ago when I was in hospital. And I was in it was a really difficult time, and it was my first admission for about 17 months. And it was hard, and I felt really lost, and I really, you know, I really was struggling. And I plugged into this meeting because Steve said he took this meeting, and you guys were just so welcoming to me and sending the messages, and I felt really plugged in, and it really, really helped me. So, yeah, thank you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to share for that long, Steve. I didn't realise it was 40 minutes. I thought it was 20. But yeah, what comes out is meant to come out. I really struggle doing shares and asking to do shares, mainly for what goes on in my head. It's mainly that kind of that what I say isn't good enough. People are going to judge me. All that kind of head stuff that goes on. And actually, I say yes because that's what I was taught, and it was what was given freely to me. You know, when I first came into my meeting, and I was absolutely broken, distraught, could hardly speak, couldn't look at people in the eye, I held on to every single word that was said, and I didn't think about people worrying or what they had going on for them doing the share. I just saw something that I really wanted. You know, I wanted what they had. I wanted the freedom to be able to laugh, to be able to joke, to be able to speak, and just to be in your own skin. And that was what was attractive to me. So that's why, you know, when I'm asked to do shares, I do it. But I do have the head thing going on, and, you know, just keep going. And what comes out is meant to come out. And yeah, I'm six years in recovery, and I went to the London Convention last weekend, and it was just, it blew my mind. It was the first time I've been to a convention where I wasn't in self-obsession. Like, I didn't care what I looked like, who I was. It was just, I was just myself, authentically myself, just really embracing and enjoying and celebrating recovery and seeing people I haven't seen for a while, seeing people that I've done service with. It was just amazing, and it just shows how much growth I've had, and what kind of over the last few years in how I've changed, you know, when I first came in on how I've changed. So yeah, I think I'll probably go start at the beginning, really. So I don't know if you could tell, but my accent is I'm Welsh, so I'm originally from Wales. And I'm from a little village in Wales that is a little bit like Hot Fuzz. So it looks good on the outside, but it's a bit dark and stuff on the inside. And and I grew up in a family that was, there was a lot of secrets in our family. There was a lot of ancestral trauma and a lot of stuff that happened in the home that you just don't talk about. And that's the theme that I tend to carry on to my, I carry through my life, really, and I've carried that theme, and I can carry it through into recovery, and it's something that I do have to really watch. So growing up was difficult. I didn't speak till I was five, so I was very much caught in my head, and I couldn't get out what I wanted to get out, and you know, I couldn't really communicate. So I found different ways to communicate, and it was quite lonely and difficult. And I found that imagination for me was my first go-to. You know, I would lock myself in the toilet and I would transport myself to a jungle, and I'd transport myself to like different places, and that was my safe place, is the toilet, to lock myself in and go to these imaginary places. And that was my first real, like, I don't know, safe place where to get out of myself, that kind of, because it wasn't comfortable being me. And that kind of progressed then as I was, you know, as I kind of got older. You know, I was a bit weird, I was geeky, I didn't quite fit in, and I didn't feel like everybody else. You know, there was things that were happening that I couldn't talk about. I just didn't like who I was. And my best friend died of cancer when I was about 9, and when that happened, it really affected me, and I really struggled to sleep. And I would find at that age I would do a lot of exercise, so I would like use like an exercising thing, and to the point where I would then be sick. And I remember being obsessed with doing this, and like completely just had to keep doing it and doing it to make myself feel better. And I knew then that something kind of didn't really feel right, but I wasn't sure what it was. And then as I got older, you know, things kind of, I then, things become more, other stuff sort of happened. And then I just started to go off the rails, really. When I started drinking, yeah, I had my first drink, and it was like I've heard many people share, it was like I felt like I could finally be myself, and it felt like it was the cure. And that was probably when I was about 12, 13, maybe earlier, and it just felt like everything had clicked. But even at that age, and as I was getting on to, I was about 15 or 16, I knew something wasn't right, because everybody else could keep going. Everybody else could like drink and put it down, and I couldn't. I had to keep going. I kept, the party was still going, and I couldn't stop. And then as that went into then starting puffing and doing different drugs, and it was the same thing. It was like I just couldn't stop, and I just didn't, was not comfortable. I just had to keep going. And I knew when I looked at my friends, and in school recently I did a sharing, a PI share in one of the schools in the area here. And I was chatting to them, and when I was in sixth form, I was in a really bad way, and I was using badly then, and I was being sick on the bus into school, and I was really spiraling. And I was an A star student, like I was doing, supposed to do well, and I had all these kind of dreams for myself that I wanted to do, and it was like everything I wanted to do, I wasn't able to. And as I was deteriorating, I was so desperately wished that I had knew about this program. I had knew that, because I knew something wasn't right. I knew that I couldn't stop. When I had the first one, I couldn't stop, and I would have to keep going, and all the consequences that came from it. And I knew it wasn't me. Like, I knew it, things that I did, I knew it wasn't part of me. And yeah, so and then I went to university, and that was when for me then the using got heavier, and the using got more difficult. And I was trying to then do a NHS degree, because my friend died of cancer. I wanted to work in radiotherapy, and I have a lot of shame around this, because when I was training and when I qualified, I worked in hospital. You know, I nicked medication, and I nicked patients' medication, and it's only been now that I've actually been able to share that, and I've actually been able to talk about it in my shares. It came up in my step work, but I have so much shame and regret, because like I had that part of me that I wanted to care for people. I have, you know, with patients in particular, and for me to admit that I you know, I nicked people's medication, and it was a lot, and I got the sack, and I didn't work anymore. And then there was like two parts of my using, really. I had the using then, when I then kind of did the geographicals, moved around, started to do ways and means to get more, you know, did things that I'm not proud of doing to get more, to keep using, to then keep it up. And then I got ill, and getting ill was probably my get out of clause card. Like for me, it was the golden ticket I could get, because I could hide away from around my addiction, because my illness, people would just see my health illness, and it was like the addiction was like kind of the sideline. So I was able to manipulate the system so much, and I did, and I manipulated it badly, and I was able to get what I needed to get through the system and be able to kind of navigate it. And I was in Bristol. I used in Bristol, and then I was in there for a while, and then I moved to Bournemouth eventually, and drugs were changing. In the end, my drug of choice was fentanyl, and as well as like the oxys and a few other things. And it was like I just couldn't stop using. It was that I was just gouged out most of the time, every single day. And I was in Bristol, in Bournemouth, and I remember when I first heard about NA, I was in Unsey Road, and my neighbour, she was an 82-year-old neighbour, and I'm on the stairs, gouged out, didn't even make it upstairs, and I'm just on the wall, like, slobbering on the wall, and she came to me, and she just said, like, you're an addict, and I said to her, I'm not an addict, and that's been a theme for me that I've had, even through recovery, is the admission and breaking the denial of, like, I am an addict, you know. And that was something that straight away, it's like, no, I'm not an addict. And then she told me about NA, and that was the first time I heard about it. And then it wasn't long when I was in the area I was with, I kind of sort of met, like, NA found me, which was really odd, you know. And it was probably where my higher power was working, but NA found me, and there were three people 12 stepped me into recovery. So they 12 stepped me in, and it took a while, and it took, you know, it was difficult. I was difficult. I was very, very, very manipulative. I wasn't really a nice person, and I really did kind of, I was very victim, and I was hard to sort of be around, it was hard for them to sort of, you know, in self-will, I knew it my way, you know, and I tried many ways to stop, you know, I tried many ways of getting rid of drugs, putting it down here, try to do this, do that, and it just, nothing had worked, and I got to the point where I just wanted to die, and I tried to kill myself, I think a few months before I went to my first meeting in the March, and I went to my first meeting, and I pretty much kicking and screaming, because I didn't want to go, and I went, and quite a few people came up to me and gave me literature, and I just thought, I couldn't believe how nice everybody was, and I just thought they all wanted something, I can't remember who did the share, but I remember, like, it was just everybody, like, smiling and happy, and I thought, I just didn't really get it. I just thought, you know, how can these people using, and now they're clean, and I just couldn't really understand it, because I thought I would die. Like, the amount of times I was in hospital, the amount of times I nearly died, I thought I would be dying using, because I just couldn't imagine not having anything in me. I couldn't imagine not being in the obsession and constantly needing more to then, like, not feel, to then, like, yeah, then the stuff that you do to then take more. I could constantly couldn't imagine my life not having that and not being revolved around getting the next one. So went to the meeting in March, and then I didn't get clean until October 2015, and that was when I just really threw the towel in, and I really thought, like, now I need to, because I just wanted to die. I just thought, I just can't do this anymore, and I was 28, and I just thought, there's got to be more than this, and I tried to take suggestions, but it was hard because of my self-will was in the way. But I was lucky because I was 12 stepped in, and I had a lot of support that could, old timers that could point me in the right direction, and as I was in the meeting and I did a detox, and I then did the meetings, they were suggested to be around the women, to go to the women's meeting, and that was really difficult for me, because in all my using, right, and the different people I were around and throughout, it was always men, it was never women, because women could see through my bullshit, yeah, women could see through, they knew they knew what I was like, whereas a man I could wrap around my finger and I could get what I wanted, and that was how I operated. So for me to go to a women's meeting, where everybody could see through me, was just an absolute no-no. But I got to a point where I wanted to stop. Like, I wanted to live, and I really wanted to like do this. So I went to the women's meeting, and I went back to the women's meeting, and I made it my home group on a Thursday, and then I went on a Sunday, and that was a miracle in itself that I would just go back, and all I got was love and acceptance and support, and people like really like wanting to help, and that was just amazing. That was so different to what I had had. It was just blew my mind. And yeah, and that was really good, because it kind of is giving me my support network now, and the importance of having women there, and the importance of having women. And it was mainly because, obviously, with my manipulation, it was just how I could get around. And yeah, I'm glad that, grateful that I was able to do that and to help me in my recovery. And my recovery has been, it's been up and down, to the point where I thought I could do it myself. So at the beginning, when I got 2 years clean, I thought, sorry, I've lost my train of thought now. When I was 2 years clean, I started to work, and I was doing quite well with work. And I did my, oh yeah, I'll just go back. So my 1990, my 1990 actually involved, because I was in hospital during some of that time, was online. So it was in the rooms, actually. That was where I did part of my online, because I didn't know Higna existed. If I knew Higna existed, I definitely would be on Higna. But I used in the rooms, and it's quite interesting because there was quite a lot of judgment down here from doing my 1990, which is a mixture of physical and online. But for me, because I was in hospital and sometimes I wasn't actually able to physically get to a meeting, that was how I had to do it. I had mine wasn't I did do a 1990, but it wasn't all physical. And it's now with Zoom happening, and some of the people that had opinions, they now really got on with Zoom, and they really like the Zoom meetings, and with COVID. So it's kind of quite interesting, and it just shows how things change and adapt, and it just shows how as it's been open, isn't it? And for me, I'm grateful, because it helped me when I was in that hospital bed, like absolutely scared shitless, going or having a PCA, going, okay, I have to be on this, I have had surgery, to not to go onto a meeting. It was like I needed that lifeline, and I needed it was great that I could access it on my phone, and it's brilliant that this is available. Like, I also love physical meetings, and I think there's something in the room that you just you really can get, and it's good having a combination. But it's yeah, and that really helped me in my recovery at the beginning. And yeah, I had illness and recovery has been a big theme through my recovery, of which I've had to, with my medication, go to illness meetings, and have to work with my sponsor and have a sort of system when I go in, and how we do that. And it works now. I'm used to it. It works now. But it doesn't mean that it isn't difficult, and it doesn't mean I have to be on my recovery. I have to be on the program, because when I'm in hospital and you're being offered different medications, it's like I have to, it's about self-honesty with myself, and self-honesty then with my sponsor and my higher power, and to be able to go, okay, am I in pain? Do I really need this? Can I not? But I've sort of got used to that now. Yeah, and I when I got my I had a, my first sponsor, and then I had to get another sponsor, and that was just amazing, like how that worked. And I really, because there's some things I never ever thought I would ever share with anybody else. Like, I really, on my step four, when it was like the secrets, I thought I would take some things to my grave, and it was just amazing, the freedom I got, but the pain I felt before step four. And it was mainly because I procrastinated on it, because I just thought I was evil. I was brought up in there's no Christianity, branch of Christianity that was very destructive and like kind of cult-like, and it really impacted me, and I had a lot of religious trauma that I've had to unpick from that. And so when I first came in, hearing the term God, and hearing, I just it brought me back to that, so I had to really like work hard on working with my sponsor around that. So when I was on step four, I just thought I was evil. I thought I was this piece of this really, really dark, dark person, because that was what I got told. I was dark. I had all these things wrong with me, and I really, really felt that. And I thought step four was going to show like this evil, horrible person. And actually, it showed that, yeah, I did things I had to did to survive, to get through life, and to do my using. But there was also stuff that happened to me, and the freedom I got from that step is like unbelievable. Like I couldn't put it into words, how I felt. Like I was just, yeah, it was just amazing. It blew my mind. And step five, then reading it out for my sponsor, and I thought that would be the hardest, but actually I found step six really difficult. Yeah, and I found that quite difficult. But it just like going through the steps as well, like each time everything getting revealed, and it's funny how it works with the process. Whatever step you're on, you really, really feel that process. Yeah, and so when I then did my step 12, so I finished my step 12 last year, or was it the year before, and that was like amazing. Like that was really powerful step, because I turned around to my sponsor and I said, I'm an addict. Like my spiritual awakening was that I'm an addict, because I had spent quite a long time going, okay, because I didn't use this drug, I'm not really an addict, and I'd done everybody's heads in, and it was just my disease working. It was my disease trying to get in and go to try and separate me from other people, because it's not to do with that. But I really kind of hung on to that, and I really, held on to it, and I tried to separate myself. And where it says, look at the similarities and not the differences, I was looking at the differences and not similarities. And it was year three, I really shook myself, and it really clicked. I thought, if you're going to continue this, you're going to end up using, because I was in that kind of pain area. And it was just to keep separating myself, so I wasn't part of, I wasn't together. And that was the year when I was doing a lot of work, and I thought, okay, I don't need as many meetings, and the program slipped, and I started to slip. I wasn't in touch with people. I got into relationships, and I just kind of recovery. And I was really sick. I was not in a good place, right? I was really not well, and I wanted to use. And what I've learned through my recovery is, when I want to use, it's usually a behavioural, something I'm doing that is not okay, and that's a little bit of a warning sign, because it's something in me that I'm doing that is a bit of a warning alarm. And that's what's happened, and it was, I realised that I needed to get back to meeting. So I did a 7 in 7, but it ended up being a 12 in 12, and I did the meetings, I got home group, and then I got service. Because before then, I didn't really, and I feel embarrassed saying this, right? I wish I could say that right from the beginning I did everything that was suggested, but I didn't, and that was my first proper service commitment, because I was in hospital so much as well, it was difficult to maintain it. But I got a home group, I got a commitment, and I still, I have that home group, and I have a different commitment, but I still have that. And I picked up my recovery, and I picked it up. And that's the last few years I've just been doing more, And I would say my year five to now has been the hardest, my hardest part, because what I've realized is, like with the disease of addiction, it's the addiction coming out in other ways, other ways to fix myself, to fix the hole inside. And that those behaviors and that core stuff is to the point, is realize I can't do that anymore. I literally, it does not fix me. And if I didn't address those, that stuff going on now, I will end up using. And that's where the point I am now. It's like I've realized that I think somebody down here said that I think when you get to your 5 year, your head comes out your ass. And I really feel that. I really feel that finally I'm starting to see, like, I have to look at some of this core stuff. I have to stop some behaviors I was doing to fix myself, because actually, you know what? I've been in a relationship pretty much from when I came in, and I was scared, I think, to be on my own in case I relapsed, I think, as well. There was like stuff going on. So to try and really address that, and to find out who I am, and find out what I like. And all my life I've been a chameleon. All my life I've tried to fit in, to be what you want the best person to be the best, like whoever. and to kind of survive. But now it's just finding out who actually I am. That I am feel like I'm starting to do that. I'm starting to work out who I am and be comfortable in my own skin. And I see that, and I see members around me who are. And it's really, it's I aspire to be like that, and I am slowly getting there. I'm just going to touch a little bit on my family. Like I spoke to my brother this morning. He sent me through my niece and my brother. We didn't speak for many years, and my brother was really ashamed of me and ashamed that I was an addict, and I did harm him. I harmed him a lot, and we're building our relationship back up now, and it's amazing. Like, it's honestly, I never thought I could have a relationship with my brother, and it just absolutely blows me away. It's like this program doing the right thing. When I first got clean, I called him up straight away and I made my amends to him straight away, right? And he was really pissed off at me, rightly so, because obviously 2 weeks isn't long enough to show like I've changed who I am. Like, it's not long enough. And I called him, and he was really not happy. And through the years, I've kind of, done the right thing and trusted that it will work out. And now it is. I did my amends to him, and that was difficult. But now it's the living amends stuff, and that's what's really, really great. And yeah, it's just amazing that I'm part of his life and a part of his child's life, because if I was using, I definitely would not be. And the other things from getting clean is the knock-on effect it's had on my family. My mum stopped drinking. Now, my mum had a drinking problem, and she's done it through a religious way. But my mum has stopped drinking now, and she did say, like, seeing me change my life and seeing, like, me, get well and clean has made her want to look at her own life. And that was amazing, because I never thought my mum would stop drinking. Like, I never thought that would happen, because I just didn't. And and it's great to see the knock-on effect of recovery and the knock-on effect of this program. Yeah, the Just for Today reading this today made me laugh. It was Act As If, and it made me laugh because I remember I had a big debate with my sponsor about this, because I was like, yeah, but it's being dishonest if you're acting as if you're not being honest. And when I was reading it, I just had our conversation going over, and the way it said act as if with the praying, and I really had to do that. Like, I really had to act as if, because I wanted to pick holes at the beginning because of my own fear and my own insecurities, my own concerns around just not just trusting a higher power. And I have done that now. I've got a higher power. I have that. I tap into it. I need that. And it was acting as if I prayed, I acted as if, and then it came. And actually, that's happened in a lot of areas of my life where I've acted as if, where I was nervous, anxious, and it has naturally come. So yeah, the reading today was really good. And now like I said, after I've had a difficult year last year, but now I've picked up my service again, and that's where I've started to do like more area service and regional, try and do regional subcommittee service, because I want to learn more. Like, I want to give back. I want to learn more. I want to understand more. I feel like I was very self-obsessed and very like, that kind of fear and all that. And I just want to learn and give back and yeah, just know myself more. And the things I'm learning with service and understand, like, the history of NA and how actually incredible, and being at London Convention and listening to like how this program started and all the people that have got clean, and it's just mind-blowing how it actually works. So when people were saying, like, when I was doing the PI talk, asking how it's hard to put into words how this works, but it works, it really does. And if you're new, all I'll say is just keep coming back. Like, you've earned your seat. Just keep coming back. Look for the similarities and not the differences, and you will hear your story. And just reach out to people. Like, everybody wants to help. Like everybody just wants to help. And it's just, yeah, keep coming back. I'll leave it there.